Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome, everybody, to Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We want to say welcome one, welcome all, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who's called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, and any of those good things, because everybody is welcome here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. We're going to have a good program here today. And Sister Nikhil, who do we got with us today? All right. Well, while we're waiting to find out who's all with us, we'll get started with an opening prayer. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you, we have another way. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch right now this program. Take the wheel, Lord Jesus. We ask you to have your perfect will and way, Lord Jesus. We ask right now that you touch, first of all, Lord Jesus, that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to reach down and help him to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, Lord Jesus. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, first off, for the family and friends who's lost someone, Lord Jesus, due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, as only you can. And then, Lord Jesus, for the many wicked situations we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, to help us learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen. And amen. All right. Looks like I'm so far by myself. But, all right. Hello, who do I hear there?
Open.
That's me.
All right.
Well, thank you. So, everybody, welcome to the show. Like you said, having a little goofiness going on today, but we are here. So thank you for that opening prayer. We're going to have some music starting here shortly. But before we do that, how's everybody's mental going around the room?
I'm doing okay, Six.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? How's everybody's mental?
Zero.
Who said that? Emily? Zero?
No, that wasn't me.
Okay. Well, we do hope it builds up before the show is ending. Hopefully you'll be out of 10. Amen.
God bless everyone. I love you guys.
Love you. How's your mental? So we got zero. How's your mental?
I'd say a 10 today. It's really crazy. We got white Christmas coming. We got snow outside. And
Ruth, put that cussing on the gospel show.
I know. Me and Six do that. But actually, it flurries, and if we get rain later, it would be, you know, angel
fun. There she goes. The other bad word.
Okay. Otherwise, they wouldn't know. So I thought
all
we'd
right,
have
so
a little fun. If you want me to do the real homework, we'll do love letters
right
later.
All right. So no cussing on air. No rain or snow. Okay. Once again, welcome everybody. We do hope that anybody have low mental that is built up before the end of the show. That's for everybody around the world, surrounding city and states, faraway countries. Once again, I want to thank the team on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Everything that you all do, you are appreciated, so we thank you for that. And we're going to have a great show. So if we can start with some music.
Before we do that, Six, we haven't done the scripture reading just yet.
Oh, well, let me get my coffee, bro. I'm jumping ahead. Let me get my coffee. I'll be back.
Okay, while you're doing that, we'll do the scripture reading.
All right, sounds good.
Kenny?
Yeah.
Before we do the scripture reading, okay, you were saying about prayer requests and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Be keeping my mom in prayer. She's been really down in the dumps, and I'm not feeling so kosher myself today.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, here we go with the scripture reading for the day.
Amen. This is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, nor for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, then thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin is Elizabeth. She has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called God. Nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Okay, this was Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. May God bless his reading of his word.
All right, now let's boogie for Jesus.
Yeah,
that's good. Sounds good. Start it off with music. Amen. Everybody wake up. Look alive.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Who was on the board? Is that you, Kenny? Who's on the board?
No, because my
equipment's
messing up.
Is acting goofy? Okay. Well, I'm trying to see what's going on with my internet. It's acting a little goofy today. So if we can get some music, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Well, otherwise,
well,
I'll just start singing.
We have Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have Kenny. We have Emily, Nikhail, Six, and...
Praise God. Welcome, sisters and brothers. Do appreciate you. Can we get some music, please?
Through the years, I keep on toiling. Lord, I'm toiling
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. I'll take over the music from here. Happy holidays from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Get some coffee and smile. Get your prayers on without leaving the house. You're tuned into the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Okay.
Six Eyes Gospel.
Everybody wants to be king. We put all our hope inside material things. And you're not enough to say.
You can't take the blood. Oh, yeah.
Our pastor arrived. Has our pastor arrived yet?
I have to realize what we need. All they fall down to the can be moved. Ain't no obstacles are whipping for me. Get me, you probably still move. When I'm there, not so cool. Round time, always like that. Dog and Dave, the place that I beat in my life, you will never make me the year where I like, what? Get the home, go. We don't give a home, don't do no steps. Put a piece of mind, don't be so desired, set the key and let go. All the world knows that people put so that key in your soul. So you can overcome, nothing can be done. Put a lot of you know.
Pastor Bonnet.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. I got you. I just read part of your text on my way in. I just saw it. I'll get back with you.
Welcome, sir.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Can y'all hear me okay?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Pastor.
Amen.
First lady.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whichever the case may be, hello. Amen. Is it time for me? I'm waiting on that dynamic entertainer by the name of Charles Sanford, a.k.a. Mr. Six Eyes, to introduce me to the stage.
Well, it looks like he is preoccupied. So we want to welcome Pastor Kenneth Bodden to the show to come in and do his amazing talent of giving us the word. So thank you and welcome, Pastor Bonnet.
Amen. Well, thank you. And we give honor to God, who is actually the one that's amazing. I am just simply a humble vessel that have been able to say yes to his way and yes to his will. And he has been gracious and kind enough to give me words to reach the heart of people. And I am thankful for the platform of Blog Talk Radio and the Six Eyes Radio Network, which have afforded me the opportunity to share the good news across the world. And so I'm so grateful for all the many countries that we are able to speak in. I'm thankful for those that are listening to us in our English language, and I pray that they are able to understand with clarity the words that are coming out of my mouth. We are in a season of not only Thanksgiving, but a season where we're celebrating the gift that God gave to each of us, and that was his very only son. It would be different if he had two or three wandering around up there with us. But he gave us the very essence of himself and bodily form to live a life to let us know that even though we make mistakes, we can be forgiven because we understand the trials of life that have come to try us. And because he understands the trials of life that have come to try us, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think. And so I'm grateful today for the presence of God Almighty. Amen. And truly, it is an honor again and a privilege to be able to speak to you all on this platform. Next week is the Christmas holiday season. Next Sunday, we will be celebrating Christmas. And I would like to pronounce it Christmas, because when you spell Christmas, it's spelled C-H-I-R-I-S-T-M-A-S. And so therefore, since the P is there in Christmas, I refuse to allow Christ to be silent in the season, although we make it silent in the speaking. I'm not going to let it be silent in my life.
Amen.
And because Christ is the reason for this season. I pray that I'm coming through clear with each of you. I'm using these buds that have a noise cancellation system in it, and I'm able to hear you all very well. But I pray that my voice is coming through clear as we begin to minister today. I want to speak before I minister to those in this season. We will find everywhere, whether they celebrate Christmas or not, we will find in this holiday season that many people go through a spirit of depression in this season. We will find that many people go through emotions of feeling rejected, feeling of disappointment, feeling of ridicule, and so many other things. I want to start with addressing the conversation that you, the one that is being hurt by what seems to be the actions of others, or that actually is the action of others. I want to speak to you first in saying, don't resound the bad news. Now, that's not my message today, but I must start off with addressing those that are going through difficult times right now. If they said this or that concerning you that was negative or bad, the only thing that you're responsible for is to examine the comment or the information given to you to be either true or false. If it is true and you have the ability to change, change. If it is false, ignore the data altogether. In other words, like your email, get all types of things coming to it. Some of it we call spam, S-P-A-M. And every now and then we have a spam folder that certain things automatically just go straight to the spam. Your system knows that that's not for you. It has nothing to do with you. This is some bloat information. This is somebody trying to manipulate or steal. And it automatically goes to the spam. But every now and then we open up a file that is addressed to us that looks friendly, that looks like it comes from someone we know. And we open it up only to find out that it, too, is also spam. And what we do, we send it to the spam file. But one thing that we have to remember to do, that every now and then we have to go and delete the spam folder. We have to delete it. In other words, we have to totally dismiss it. How do you do that, Pastor Bonnet? Thank you for asking. I'm glad you asked that. That's a very good question. In computer, when you're dealing with software and you want to get rid of something, you send it through a process of deletion. Well, how do you delete something in your heart and in your privy? And how do you delete something that has happened to you? Well, it's really simple. The process itself is a challenge at times, but what it is something simple. It is called the word forgiveness. Yes, it is simply the word forgiveness. The grace of God that is given to all of us is given to us that asks for it because of the love that God gave to all of us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would should not perish. See, I mean, there's a possibility that you can perish, but you should not. Why? Because you have been given the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. And many times people who have offended us do it in a way that they themselves either don't believe that they have offended us, don't understand how they have offended us, therefore, and some don't even care whether or not they have offended us.
Amen.
But in the teaching that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, he said to them, when you pray, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is also being done in heaven. Give us this day, Father, our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins and debts towards you, as we forgive those who have trespassed and offended us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yes, Lord.
When we pray that prayer, it is a action that we release those who have offended us because we ourselves have offended God. And the more you do that, the lighter your burden becomes. The Bible tells us to cast aside every sin and weight that easily take us off focus, mislead us, break us. We are to release ourselves from them as we would do when we take our coat off when we walk inside of a warm house. We walk outside, it's cold, we put the coat on. But as we walk into the house, we take the coat off because there's not a need for the coat. And the coat is no longer needed to keep us safe, to bring forth warmth. Yeah, there is a reason to be cautious when somebody has physically harmed you. But then there's no reason for you to hold hatred towards them in your heart, because what's in your heart is what God is judging. You cannot allow others to cause you to be trapped in sin. Because if God loved us while we was yet sinners, we have to know how to love others while they're yet sinning against us. Is it a challenge? Yes, it is. Yes, it's a challenge. I make no pretense to think that it's not a challenge. But all I do know is that which has not killed me can only strengthen me. You know, the first time you get a cold and you put the right vitamins and right nutrients in your body begin to fight that cold and push off that cold. And in that same year, you're taking care of your body. When that cold bug tried to attack your body again, your body has an immune system that was aware of how the cold tried to creep in. And then and only then does it begin to react in protecting the body to keep it healthy. But it had built up antibodies so that it can't do the same thing again. We have what's called immunization shot, when they give you a small portion of something only to build up those antibodies. So when the great big part of it comes, you are able to withstand and overcome. There are challenges in our life that God allows us to go through. And he allowed them to come in small portions, because he did say, he will not put on us more than we can bear. The problem is we keep on trying to take on more than we can bear, and not realizing that every battle is not ours to fight. Not realizing that sometimes God wants us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So the word gives us this encouragement. Finally, my brethren, having done all you can do to stand, and I'd like to add, to stand strong in faith, to stand strong in righteousness, to stand strong in your belief, stand. Wait a minute, preacher. The wind is blowing, and I'm about to fall down. The wind is tossing. It is pushing me. But the scripture says, be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water. In Florida, and tropical areas like Florida, there are palm trees. That these palm trees, they grow up real high. And the roots grow down real deep. And because many of the Florida lands are below sea level, they are able to grab hold of fluid, water, nutrients. And they allow the roots to grow as deep in the ground as the tree is high above the ground. And so no matter how strong the tornado comes, it is able to withstand the wind and the rain. And though it may sway, there's a place called Crystal Falls where you can see that through a long period of tornado and terrible winds, where certain palm trees have literally grown tall, but in a twisted position. They're grown not because of the storm, but because they were designed to grow. And because the storm came, it did not hinder the growth because it was rooted deep in the soil. It was rooted, and it had much moisture to give it life. That's why it's so important for us to have the Word of God for ourselves. Why? Because having the Word of God for yourself is being rooted. Being rooted in what? Being rooted in truth. We're so quick to resound what somebody said negative concerning us that we don't even realize that the power of life and death lies in my tongue, not your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
When it concerns my life, it lies in my tongue. And so we are convinced to resound the things that the devil is saying. The devil sends forth cold. You say, I'm sick. You resound what he said. The devil sends forth a fever. Oh, I think I'm not going to make it. And we resound what the enemy has put in a spiritual realm. But our job is to stand firm on the word of truth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, what do that mean, brother preacher, a new creature? Well, Jesus told them one day when Jesus had a natural feeling of hunger. He went to a fig tree, and that fig tree did not have any fruit on it. So the Lord remained hungry that moment. Oh, yeah, he wanted to eat. And he was hungry, and he anticipated on having something to eat. But when he got there, that which had leaves didn't have nothing to give him nourishment. The body of Christ are leaves on a tree called the gospel. But we must bear fruit. After all, it is in the original commandment, which was to be fruitful and multiply. The problem is we have been fruitful in the wrong direction. Our job as life bearers is to be fruitful in speaking life. I am living and breathing. I am not dead. So I should not be speaking death out of my mouth. I should be speaking life. And see, when we don't understand that if I'm speaking death out of my mouth, that is my fruit. And if my fruit be evil, those that hear, those that consume my fruit, they receive only those bad nutrients called death. But if I begin to speak hope, faith, if I begin to speak goodness, righteousness, then what somebody is able to eat is the vitamin C of life, the vitamin A of life. Some of you have heard it once said in the secular world, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Have you heard it? I know many of you have heard it. It is something, especially in our American culture, that was taught a long time ago. But the problem is how many of us eat an apple a day? Wow! If an apple a day would keep the doctor away, it would seem that I would eat more apples so that I can stay out of the doctor's office. But I don't eat apples. I don't eat oranges. I don't eat bananas. I don't eat the things that are designed to bring nourishment to this body so it can have the strength and health that it needs so I can feel better. You know, it's hard to overcome the chemical imbalance in the brain when you are not properly, when you don't have the proper nutrients in your body. It's hard for you to overcome depression when everything in you is aching because you won't eat right. It's hard to overcome low self-esteem when your body has incurable blood disease. Mm-hmm. The woman that had the issue of blood, the Bible tells her story that for 12 long years she was bleeding. For 12 long years, this woman had a blood condition that was sucking the very life from her body. She did what many will do. She went to those that were supposed to be able to help her. And don't know what kind of medicine that they had in that day and time. Don't know what kind of regimen was prescribed to her. But the Bible says that she spent her money going to many physicians and grew the worse and suffered many things at their hand. What am I saying? I'm saying that what they told her to do didn't work. Some of us, we're going and we're getting this medication and that medication. We see this on commercial. We see that on commercial. And these things tell you that you can take this medicine to feel better. But then when they finish listing the side effects, my God, Lord have mercy. You feel bad by the side effects all by themselves. But yet, they're still saying, this is what's going to get you better. Wow. And we do that, and we wonder why things are still getting worse. Now, I'm not advocating that you shouldn't take medication. I'm not telling you that it's wrong to take prescribed medication. And I did say prescribed because some of us, we self-medicate. And that's what we got a young generation doing today. They think weed can fix their problem. They're going through struggles in their mind. They're going through ups and down issues. They're dealing with stress. And they think that the weed can deliver them. And I'm telling you today, it is a form of idolatry. Why? Because you have put your trust in something else other than God. And you do it even though where you may be, it may be illegal. It's amazing how pursuing something of that, and yeah, it may make you feel quote-unquote good for a moment. But what happens after the effects of it die down? Why do you feel worse? Because it was what it was, temporary. Why not turn to something and someone who's forever? Who's eternal, who's forever giving, Why not trust something that the only side effects are positive? The side effects of me serving the Lord means I don't have to worry about fornication, because I'm not going to want to commit fornication and shame God and shame my wife. The side effects of loving God mean I won't indulge in pornography because that's not what meant for my satisfaction. So I'm not going to live by the lust of the flesh. I'm not going to seek out your thank yous and your that a go, they, way to go, boy, and man, you awesome. I'm not going to seek after your words, because man should live by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God, not the mouth of men. Thank God for the opportunity to speak to you today, but I'm speaking to you the words of God, not the words of body. I'm telling you how to apply God's word in your life, not to how to live like me. You can't live like me, because I'm the only me there is. You got to live like you. Now, you can have the things that I have if God allow it, because everything that I have, God gave it. God gave me my wonderful children. God gave me my wonderful wife. God gave me the wonderful ministry in which I am able to minister in. God gave me the ability and the drive to understand his word and to share it with others. These are free willing gifts that a free God gave. And why did he give it? Because I was willing to receive it. I'm not so special. I'm not so unique. I'm not so educated. None of those things are me apart from God. But what makes me unique, what makes me special, what makes me abundant is that Christ live in me. And he is wonderful. He is abundant. He is great. And he is always working. So, therefore, because he is, I am. I can be. After all, that's why I am called a Christian, to be Christ-like. Do you call yourself a Christian? Then I need you to take out a piece of paper. And I want you to write on it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I want you to name 5 things that you know that Christ done according to the scriptures. And even if you don't write 5, write at least 3. And after you wrote those 3 things or 5 things down, I want you to put a line between those and write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 again. Cross the 1, write 1 with the line in between. And I want you to name your attributes. What have you given to this world? What are you doing right now? I'm not talking about yesterday, some distant past. Let's just start in the last 6 months. what have you done that measure up a lineup with the scenes that you see on the left side of the page? And if the things that's on the left side of the page don't equal or measure up to the things on the right side of the page, it says to us, we have work to do. Because if I'm to be Christ-like, then I am to pattern and model myself after the things he did. The word says the common people heard him gladly. When you go to talk to people, do they turn an ear? Maybe it's the conduct or the words that's coming out your mouth. Maybe it's the expression of your faith. You know, we go to Facebook and we have these things called gifts now. We don't need to have to put our own. So just, we can find a gift to express something now. Isn't it amazing? They would call it a gift, though. Sister Emily, and from time to time, likes to send me little images that's called gifts, and they either have a comment of a movement part on it, and it's one of those ha-ha moments. Mother White loves to send us every now and then, based on the day of the week, little inspirational short prayers or just a statement of a positive statement concerning the day and how to look at it with another gift attached to it. And she never looked for one back. And that's what a gift is. It's amazing how in the secular world that last year you didn't give me no Christmas gift. This year I ain't going to give you one. But I believe in gifting. But I ain't going to give you one because you ain't gave me one. Wow. Did Christ give himself to us because we gave ourselves to him? No, he did it in the hope that we would accept him. But there's no guarantee. So in a world that hated him and taunted him, he yet gave his life. What have you given of yourself to others and then look for it back? It's easy for us to get caught up in the notion, I've lost time fooling with you and I can't get that time back. That's a true statement. That don't get it wrong. We're not going to get it twisted. That is a true statement. I have lost. Right now, I am losing time talking to you over this airwaves. And if I will allow negativity to rule that thought, then I will say it was time wasted and I can't get it back. But I'm spending time sharing my faith, sharing my love, being compassionate about others. How is that a waste when it's from my heart? Irregardless to how you receive it, if I did it from my heart, and you don't receive it, I can't devalue what I gave. If I bought you a diamond ring or a gold necklace and you threw it in the garbage, do the value of the ring or necklace lose its value from it being tossed in the garbage? No. It is still worth what it was worth. Your actions of love towards people are worth the value that you placed on it when you released it.
Amen.
Don't you err through your own mouth diminish the value of what you have given into this world. See, the devil wants you to stay stuck in the pressures, so he makes you out your own mouth devalue what you have given to the world. There are times when people are not going to listen to your suggestion. They're not going to follow your warning. But you know what's going to happen? They're not going to benefit from it neither. And years later, once they get delivered, once they look back, because you say hindsight is 20/20, that means after things are all said and done, people look back and they are able to see more clearly then than they now than they were then.
Amen.
They'll be able to say, you know what, somebody did reach out to show me love. Somebody did reach out to show me kindness.
Amen.
And they'll be able to reflect on the action that you did maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And who to say at the moment of their reflection, it don't save their lives? Who to say at that moment of conversion, it doesn't compel them to go and do the same for someone else? Many times we have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in our BC stage before Christ. And we heard people talk about it, talk about him, and we heard them, and we ignored them. We ourselves at one time or another have been guilty of saying, I ain't ready to be saved. I was young in the church, remember at age 7 asking God to come into my life. But I remember as I got in my latter teens, deciding I'm not going to play with God, and made a conscious decision to leave the church. And it wasn't until many years later, after going through heartbreak, after going through bad decisions, and they were bad because I knew the right decision, but I still made the conscious decision to make a bad decision. It was only when God said, okay, enough is enough, it's time for you to return, and in my darkness, he reached out to me, spoke to me. And so the deeds of my mother, the deeds of my praying brother, the deeds of those that have spoken life to me before, my pastor previously, the deeds of them, all that they've done was not in vain. Though at a time it may have seemed to be. We in this world must learn what it is to forgive. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for ourselves. In the street, this is how we said it, to those of you that may understand some street lingo. If you do me bad in the street, and in the street we all doing something bad, we all trying to get over. You get over on me today, and I say this, well, I'm going to charge it to the game. In other words, I'm not going to look to pay you back. What it means for me is I need to step my game up so you can't get me again. So I'm going to charge it to the game. See, the world even know how to diffuse bad situation by charging it to the game. We used to play street ball growing up where there was no referees in the basketball court. But if you fouled me and I called foul, we had a fan say, respect my call. Why? Because if you don't respect my call, I can't respect yours. So even in the street, we had a way of learning how to respect one another's call. If you offended me and I say you offended me, just say I'm sorry. Especially when it wasn't your intent. And if somebody offends you, say it. Don't hold on to the offense. And what we do, we get fouled and we don't say nothing. And two or three shots later, when the game is at or by the end, now we want to cry, well, you only won because you fouled me. Wait a minute, you had a chance to speak up, but you didn't. And the issue is we don't know how to let go. And the solution is forgiveness. How do you know when you have forgiven a matter? It is when you no longer bring it up to resolve your problem. That's how you know. And if you can't let it go, then maybe you haven't forgiven it. And that's what you need to be praying. Lord, help me to forgive others who have wronged me. It's in the prayer. What does it mean to be blessed? Now, I did a whole lot of talking. I shared a whole lot of faith. But let me be scripture with you and give you something to take home. Go to what I want to use today. Let me see. Let's go to Psalms 1. Those of you that got your Bibles.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you have your Bibles. Don't come on the battlefield without your weapon. Amen.
Amen.
Around here, I'm teaching you how to fight for your life. I'm teaching you how to enjoy your life. I'm teaching you how to define life. The Psalm 1, verse 1. Now, I might need to read this in another translation, but I'm going to read it in the King James for all my King James advocates. It says, bless you the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So it, first of all, it tells me how to be blessed. It tells me that if I want God to bless me, I can't walk. That's live. That walk is your way of life. Your walk is your way of life. I'm going to say it again. Your walk here is the way you are living.
Amen.
So blessed is the man that lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. There was a young king back in the biblical days, and this young king, he had took over from his father. And when he took over, the people of the other land were saying to him, have mercy on us. Your father put great restraints against us. And he went to his counselors, and his counselors told him These were the counselors that was there when his father was in rain. And these counselors instructed him, well, if you help them now, they'll serve you later. And he heard their counseling. But then he turned around and began to talk to the folks that were his age. And they told him, you tell them people, if you think that my daddy had a heavy hand, my pinky going to be heavier than that hand. And dealt them a hard blow. Unfortunately, the end of the story, he lost his reign and so on and so forth. All because he listened to foolish counselors that didn't counsel him in the ways of God, but they counseled him in their own foolish lifestyle. And we have to be careful that we are not letting the ungodly counsel us. So the question is, who are you listening to? Right now you listen to Pastor Bonnet, but who are you going to be listening to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Amen.
What will you be listening to that governs your action of your heart? Are you going to listen to the words of God? Or you going to listen to them friends and say, well, shoot, they deserve it. If I was you, I'd have been told them out. Say, shoot, you ain't got to put up with that. And the sad thing about it is the people that have talk to you and tell you, don't you tithe, don't you give to your church, don't take that from your husband. They either don't have a prosperous church or they're doing it and they're not saying nothing to you about what they're doing because they're up on the microscope. They're doing the opposite of what they told you. Or they're the very ones that broke, busted, and disgusted themselves. And if you're trying to keep a relationship, you don't need to be listening to the advice of those that can't hold on to one.
Amen.
Because the truth of the matter is, the only thing they can really tell you is to tell something. I know you don't like that, but that's all right. It's true anyhow, whether we like it or not. Because if you with your Dr. Phil self, excuse me, knew how to do what was right, what's your problem now? Is blessed. That speaks of prosperity. He is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Yeah, I got to go to this other text. I got to read it from the New Living for you. I got to do that because I want to make sure that you really, really got what I'm saying. So while I got that pulled up, let me turn to this other book, New Living. And I need to, you know, Psalms 1 and 1. This is the New Living. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. It stops off with the word, oh, man. In other words, it's a syllable of rejoicing. Oh, the joy. The joy. You say it right now, but all the joy,
man,
of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Anybody that would tell you not to follow the teachings of Christ, they wicked. We got to start using this earth phrase now. Well, I'm a good person. It's so amazing to me on television, on movies, and even in real conversation, we hear the people say, well, I know he stole, but he have a good heart. he's a he beat me, but he's really a good person. You got a black eye from the man that said he loves you, but he's a good person.
Amen.
What in the world definition have you used for the word good? How can you classify bad deeds with the word good? It is wicked. And even though you may say, well, don't call the person wicked, the deed is, because it's ungodly. So don't take advice for those that do not have godly deeds. If you were following Pastor Bonnet and you found out Pastor Bonnet got two girlfriends on the side, you may not want to listen to me when I talk to you about marriage and being faithful.
Mm-hmm.
I may not be the right person to talk to if that was my action. Why? Because I need to be able to put my mouth where my money is. In other words, I need to be able to show you some fruit of what I'm talking about. If I'm telling you that God will heal your body, you need to see me walking in some healing for my oneself. I was sharing the day with someone that was telling me about the condition of their knees and what the doctor told them. And I told them, I said, I was in a similar condition where both of my knees were swelling as the size of grapefruits, navel grapefruit. That's some big ones. They were swelling. And every Sunday morning before I got up to minister, they was aching. But I would get up to minister and the pain would go away. After a while, I asked God, Lord, why is it that I'm still going through this affliction? And he told me, you're hard-headed. You're hard-headed. Okay, Lord, what have I not done? You ain't followed the advice of your doctor. You haven't followed the advice of the elder. And then I begin to hear words where one of my chief elders told me, Bonnet, you'll be all right if you're going to lose some weight. You need to get some of that weight off you, man. And in my mind, well, shoot, you know, I like what I, you know, I'm thick. Ain't nobody for them bothers me, you know. In my mind, all that foolishness. What's going on? All I need is just to lose a little cut. I'm good. But when I earnestly sought God for truth, he told me, you got too much weight on you. And you're not following the advice that you subject yourself under. I subject myself under going to the doctor to find out help, and then I wouldn't take my medicine right. And so after he revealed that to me, I got before the whole church and repented. I said, I've been hard-headed. I'm teaching y'all to obey leadership. I'm telling y'all to follow rules and regulations. And I myself am in the spirit of disobedience.
Amen.
I had to come clean. I had to come clean. I had to tell it on myself.
Amen.
And you know what happened? I began to lose weight because I asked God what to do. And he told me what to do. He told me what to do secretly. And so I began to fast secretly. Wouldn't tell nobody. I began not to eat after a certain time. I began to ask God how to get this weight off of me. And I began to take my medicine like it was prescribed. When I done that, my knees stopped swelling up. And from that time to this time, and that's been many years ago, a good 5 years, I think, might be even six, because I think I was 49 or 48. Every now and then, they have a little ache in these knees, but after I stretch for a moment, strength comes back to them.
Praise God.
But they have not swollen nowhere near to the level they were swelling. Even when it would get sore from me working, and y'all know I have a lawn service, so I'm on my feet. So I realized that I had to wear the right type of shoes. I had to take care of what was supposed to be there to take care of me. I had to do right, people. And a lot of times we go to God crying about what ain't right, but we won't do right. God can't fix you when you're not willing to fix yourself.
Amen.
Preacher, that don't really sound right. Well, I'm going to show you. There was a man that sat at the pool of Bethesda. Many of y'all done heard the story. He had been there for 36 years. Now, how in the world you sit somewhere for 36 years suffering evil? You give up. You start blaming others. Jesus came by the pool and saw the man sitting there on a cart, laying there. And he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" As soon as he was asked the question, he began to complain about what other people was doing. That is our biggest problem. God got an audience with you. He's talking to you about being better. And the first thing you talk about is what somebody else do. It ain't about what nobody else do. It ain't about what nobody else said. He is talking to Y-O-E. Somebody say, he's talking to me. He asked the man, "Will thou be whole?" And the man said, "Every time I go to get in the pool, somebody jump in before I am able to jump in." Man, listen, for 36 years, after the first 2 or 3 years, you should have learned how to at least lay on the edge of the pool, so when it started bubbling up, all you had to do was just fall in. Glory to God. Is it mental healing? But because sometimes we settle for being broken. We settle for being broken. We don't roll into our healing. Jesus only said, listen, you've been relying on that pool to be your source of healing, but I am the healer. Take up your bed and walk. In other words, when you meet Christ, whatever was restricting you for living life, all you need to do is pick it up and begin to live.
Amen.
Don't let it hold you back any longer.
Amen. Come on now.
The power of God is to give you life. He said, Christ, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me." Then he turned around and said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly."
Amen.
That's what he said. I told the people on last Sunday in the district meeting, we are not to test God. That means we don't do stupid stuff and think God going to deliver us.
Amen.
We don't test God. What we do is we prove God. by doing what he said do and trusting his word.
Amen.
When the scripture said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, if you don't believe in tithing, then you can't prove it. You can't use that scripture to build on because you don't believe it. So you can't use that to prove God's strength in your life.
That's true.
Only what we do for Christ is going to last. So go back to the text, go back to the text, go back to the text. Let me go back to the text. It says, Psalms 1, so blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat, nor sitteth in the way, of the scornful, nor sitteth in the seat. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, the New Living on that, I just read for you. It says, oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners. Who are you hanging out with? I used to tell my younger son this. Son, either they're going to draw you or you're going to draw them. And if you're not talking about God, they're going to draw you. And consequently, that's what is happening. They're drawing you. But every now and then, something will rise up. And they'll say, Dad, I need you to go. You need to be praying. Daddy, yeah, it's all right for Daddy to pray, but you can pray.
Amen.
It's all right for the preacher to pray, but you can pray.
Amen.
Thank God for the man of God. Thank God for the women of God. Thank God for those that are leading the front line by speaking the voice of God.
Amen.
But you can do it too. The same God that loved me loves you. We'll say it again. The same God that loved me, love you. His love does not vary between you and me.
Praise God.
He didn't die twice for me and died once for you. Now he died once for all of us.
Amen.
The same blood that was shed for you as well as me.
Uh-huh.
So the same liberty that I have in God is available for you that believe.
Amen.
It goes on and says, nor stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. You got people that want to mock what's going on in the church. They think they so holy. They think they this. They think they that. Stop hanging out with them folks that are talking against God.
Man.
David was a mighty man of war. Wasn't nothing wimpy about him. He was a man's man.
Amen.
The song that was sung was, Samuel killed his 1,000, but David has killed his 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a song right there. Now, you bad, you can kill 1,000 people, but shoot, this uncle over here, he killing 10,000. Man, so there was something strong about him. And when the person that got jealous of him was the person that he was serving, twice he had the opportunity to get rid of him. Twice. And this is what he said. It is not for me to touch God once elected.
Amen.
It ain't for us to talk against the man or woman of God. It is for us to pray that God will redeem them, that God will purify them. But unless we're discussing the issues surrounding so that we can be better, so that we can help others not fall into the trap and the snares of the devil. Mm-hmm. Ain't no sense of me assassinating you. You'll do that to yourself when you work against God.
Amen.
When you work against God, that's worse than pulling the trigger, taking a gun, and sticking it in your mouth.
Amen.
Throw this word in that all of us are familiar, but many of us use that phrase for so many reasons. Lord, have mercy. But you tell somebody, look on the bright side, and after you finish talking to them, they'll say, but. And the next word that comes out of their mouth determines what direction they're going in.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know how significant the word but is. The but in your conversation can either condemn you or bless you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it again. The but in your conversation can determine whether you are blessed or whether you are cursed. Because what you say after the but dictates your behavior. But this word says, but their delight, my delight, you know the word delight, what you enjoy doing. Now, we just said, oh, the joy. See, a lot of times, we don't find joy in reading the Bible, but we delight in the gossip. That's because our joy wasn't truly in God. You got to watch it when you prefer to listen to the gossip column versus the good news column.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to be aware. Yeah, I watch television. I watch all kinds of shows. But every now and then, there's some shows I just can't watch. I done told my wife, I don't watch these legal flicks. Yeah, these legal flicks. You know, these programs that come on. Now you got this a bunch of naked folks running around on the island, half naked, playing games with one another, and every day there's sexual innuendos in the conversation.
Amen.
See, that's a flick.
Praise God. That is so true.
That's a flick. I don't watch stuff like that. Why? Because God delivered me from fornication. It was a task at one time. It was not a task. It was a challenge. How many people we can sleep with? Y'all ain't going to talk to me. I know it didn't sound wrong because it was wrong.
It was. You playing best for you best.
But I'm going to tell the whole truth and shame the devil.
Amen.
Yeah, come on with
me. Y'all know just like I know that a woman should be able to get a man before a man get a woman.
Amen.
But I went to a club with an ex-girlfriend. We challenged who can get the most telephone numbers.
Ooh.
And who can pick up the most people. My ego was so to the point that I challenged a woman to do what she, when she get there, there's a whole lot of eyes on her because it's more men in the club looking for women than it is women in the club looking for men. Then, I don't know now. Yeah, one of y'all going to have to tell me. One of y'all going to have to tell me. I don't know. How many men go to club versus women now? Is it, you know, y'all going to have to tell me. I don't know. It been at least 29 years since I've been to a club. Oh, ain't nobody saying that? Okay, I guess y'all ain't been to clubs neither then. Yeah, okay. I'm just checking. I don't know, you know. Y'all just have to tell the preachers he's still relevant. Amen. But last I saw on television, last I saw on television, it was all it was more men in the clubs than it was women. But when the devil got your mind on foolishness, you'll do stupid things. And so my mind was trapped in foolishness. So I done dumb things, things that was unlike the character of what I wanted to be and who I knew to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are not careful, we allow the devil to take us out of character. The Bible says here, verse 2 says, but they delight in the Lord. Who delight in the Lord? The folks that don't follow wicked advice.
Mm-hmm.
But they delight in the law of the Lord. See, I didn't know the scripture in the way of understanding when I left the church. I thought the law of God was a reason to move out the way, not realizing that the law of God was there to keep me and to protect me.
Amen.
Then it goes on to say, meditating on it day and night. Now, here's where we separate the good and the bad. I told you to write down on that list, 1 through 5, you got a left side and a right side, God's side, your side.
Yes, sir.
Every day we saw the Lord walking and healing people and speaking to people and speaking life to people. But on that same path, what are we doing daily? We're complaining, we're fussing, we're cussing, we're saying this,
mm-hmm.
we're saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we meditating on? Well, what has come out of your mouth in the last conversation when you were upset? What words did you use that you won't say in front of the preacher or in the
mm-hmm.
church house?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What are you meditating on? Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I done told you a long time, you either say amen or ouch.
Amen.
Because I ain't come aiming at nobody, but if I hit you, I sure didn't mean to miss you.
Amen.
Delight in the law of the Lord. Meditating on it day and night. Did it say Sunday only? Did it say Saturday only for y'all Saturday people?
No.
It don't specify a particular day. Which means it is applied every day.
Amen.
Meditating on it day and night. So, who got your subconscious? Who got it? Do God's law has it or the law of the world? Because anytime you think that you got to do something the world way to get ahead, versus God's way, something got you conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to check that. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You can't go down to the horse races, say, God, I'm believing on you for the daily devil. Lord, I'm believing that the daily devil going to come through for me. And Lord, if the daily devil come through for me today, Lord, I'll be in church on Sunday, Lord. I'm going to pay my tithes. You won't pay tithes, the money that you already got. So what make you think if you hit $2,000 at the track today, you're going to turn around and give God $200? You're going to hit $2,000 and go in your mind, well, I don't think they really need all of this. I'm going to just give them $100. They'll be all right with this. You might even not say $100. You might be cheap enough to say $6. That's because I got this to do since the Lord done let me run this month. See, we talk a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it happens, because we meditating on the wrong thing.
Amen.
Lord help us today.
Yes,
y'all want a little bit more.
No,
I want y'all a little bit more. y'all gonna give y'all a little bit more. I know time is, but if y'all want a little bit more, that's only if y'all want a little bit more.
Yes.
Verse three in the text, we'll read on. Verse three in the text says, they are like trees. I was just talking to y'all about those palm trees. I'm in the mid-south now. When strong winds come down, I don't care how big that tree is. That tree is not designed to bend like those palm trees. We done seen trees fall over, and the roots of that tree is tall as the darn house from the street. At the last building we was at, one storm came through here and turned that tree over. It land over in the street. Had it hit the house, the whole house would have been gone. It land over, blocking the driveway, but the roots of it, the whole base of it, is just as tall as the house.
Wow.
And that, when we're not truly rooted and grounded in God, and the strong winds of life comes, it pushes us over. Why? Because we're pushovers. Because we won't stay nowhere long enough to learn something. We won't stay nowhere long enough to build nothing. Skyscrapers, as big and tall as they are, you know they are designed to move with the wind. Ain't never seen no building move. That's because you don't understand construction. Think Susan Nicole, she's into that type of work. The bigger the building is, they have to dig down into the soil big enough, so deep enough, so that it can support whatever weight on the top. And they have to put construction beams that's designed to shift when the atmosphere shifts, when the ground shifts, so that the building don't collapse on them later on. Amen. Am I right about it, Mikhail?
You have to have a strong foundation.
So if the foundation is not right, when strong winds come, it's pushing over everything that is not properly anchored.
Amen.
That is not properly grounded. So in other words, a little dab of Jesus is not enough.
Amen.
Sometimes we think, well, you know, I done had my sermon for the day. I'm good now. And then by Thursday, you tore up on the floor up because somebody called you ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said something ugly to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you keep saying to yourself, I can't believe they did this to me. Do they know who I am?
Amen.
I can't believe. How dare they? Shoot, I'm this and that. I'm that and this. And in our mind, we keep resounding what they said.
Come on now.
And we call somebody else on the phone. Can you believe so-and-so said this about me? Who shall? They did what? I can't believe that.
Tackling him.
Yeah. I can't believe she did it with her nappy head stuff. She the one that needs to be at the nutrition. She the looking, talking about what I had on. She need to get a hair fix. Don't get a peek. And then all of a sudden, now you the one talking about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll point out all of their flaws.
Huh?
Anybody done that? We're trying to justify why somebody done wrong to you. Now all of a sudden you want to put all their business that ain't got nothing to do with this conversation on the floor.
Amen.
But then you turn around and say you the righteousness of God. How is that right? It isn't.
It's not right.
They are like trees planted along the riverbank. Any tree planted along the riverbank, the river got moisture, and that moisture goes into the bank of the soil. And so those trees always got a source of water. When you are connected to God, you always have a source. You realize that He's your source and not others. So even if somebody was supposed to help you get ahead because you helped them, and that was the agreement, and they failed to uphold their part of it, they wasn't your source in the first place, not real. And what they won't do, God will do it some other means. God will open up another door to bless you. And so you are not my source of blessing. You are a resource. And when we understand that I'm not your source, I'm a resource. As much as I am to my wife, I ain't her source. I'm a resource. Because I'm here today, and I can be gone tomorrow, and next year she have another husband, and her name be something else.
Amen.
So I'm just a resource. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Keep it in proper perspective. God is our source. And so to be planted, trees by the river, they don't get up and walk away. You get offended over here at the church, forgive. Don't need the church. It's not talking about the church. I know many people have been offended by certain ministries. But you was only offended because of the level of understanding, either with you or with them. And the offense came because y'all didn't agree with what y'all thought that was common knowledge. Sometimes that's the biggest issue. I think you're supposed to do this, and you think I'm supposed to do that. But we ain't discussed the matter. And so offense have come in, and we let it fester and grow instead of obeying the scripture that says, if you have aught with your brother before you give your sacrifice, go and clear it with him. We don't do that.
Amen.
We don't do it.
Right.
We keep on going like nothing happened. And then when the day happens that our branches are like the branches of a tree in a strong wind. We break off. We don't realize that the only reason why we was able to be broken off is because we had decayed anyway. And although we was connected, we really was only connected because it didn't let us go. But we had already died on the inside.
Yeah.
I don't want you to die this season on the inside. I want you to speak life that you shall live so that you may continue to declare the wonderful works of Almighty God.
Amen.
It says they are like trees planted. Who are they? They who meditate on his word day and night. They are like trees planted by the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. How many seasons? All of them. Each season.
Mm-hmm.
And they are prosper in all they do. They are what? Prosper. So anybody tell you prosperity is not of God, they don't know the scripture. Because it just said right here, they prosper in all they do. Prosperity is relevant to your purpose. Because all prosper, prosperity is not all money.
Amen.
We just had a secular person. I can't think of the name of them right now. They worked on the DeGeneres, the Ellen DeGeneres. So,
Twitch
just killed themselves after having fame, fortune, and notoriety.
Make it plain, Pastor.
No.
When they checked into a hotel and put a gun in their mouth, shot themselves in the head.
I got to check in with the man.
Ain't that something?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So that tells me that he really didn't have stuff. The stuff had him. And he wasn't fulfilled by the stuff because he didn't have it. It had him. And when stuff got you, stuff can drop you.
Amen.
And we can't live by that. Am I ministering to somebody today?
Yeah,
you definitely. Is your heart receiving this today?
Pastor, praise the Lord.
Because we got to move past this brokenness so that we can become the blessing that God wants us to be.
Amen.
Joseph was broken because his brothers wanted to kill him, wanted to harm him. And they threw him in a pit where he's wondering, why? Why are y'all doing me this way?
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever cried to yourself, why, Lord, they doing me like this?
Amen.
And he found himself in a system that had no water. He was in a hole with nothing there but him.
Mm.
And he's wondering why.
My
but
Lord.
What the hole did, the hole took him out of their view because they really wanted to kill him. But because he was out of sight, the one brother was able to say, let's not do harm to him. He is our kin. They go so merchants, let's at least sell him so he can live. It gave opportunity for another chance to happen. No, it wasn't good neither. Because he went from the pit into slavery. Here it is, he was free.
Amen.
He had purpose. God had showed him a great and mighty vision.
Amen.
But now he sees chains, chains that locked him down, chains that held him back.
Amen.
But even though he was in chains, he was in bondage, it did not stop his relationship with God.
Preach.
Nor did it deter him from working as unto the Lord.
Thanks,
because
God.
As
Amen.
He was sold into Potiphar's house, the Bible said that he worked so hard that part of the house, everything that Joseph was put over to do, it began to be prosperous. Why? Because he meditated on God, and whatever he did, it prospered. Because
Amen.
He didn't listen to the other slaves saying, I wouldn't do all that for this man. Shoot, bump them. He didn't listen to them. He worked just as hard for the slave master as he did in his father's house. And he got elevation from it. So elevation from it that the mistress of the house, all of a sudden, she see this young tenderoni. And she wanted. And being a young man strong, he had an opportunity to rock her world. But he said, your world don't belong to me. It's already spoken for somebody else. He said, I can do it. He said, but what righteousness is in that, that I would dishonor God and your husband?
Amen.
He said, it ain't right. Your husband has given me liberty. over everything, and he has kept nothing back from me. I'm a slave. I understand slavery, but he's given me freedom as a slave. And God is still watching. It don't matter what your circumstance is, God is still watching. And when you know God is still watching what you do, how you do it, it don't matter what man sees.
That's right.
And so he had to avoid her on a daily basis. Because all she saw was this young man that was strong enough to rock her world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she lied on him. And now all of a sudden, the Bible says that Potiphar was upset. He was mad. He was angry.
Mm-hmm.
I propose to you all two things. If Joseph was guilty, he would have ran away. But Joseph didn't run. Joseph was still there. So he was angry because he knew his wife. He knew she just messed up the flow of money. Are we messing up our homes, messing up the flow of increase that God has blessed us? God sent part of our house a blessing in the name of Joseph. So, yeah, he mad. And he wasn't mad at Joseph, per se, because he knew the truth. That's what I believe. Because had he would have truly been mad at Joseph, that action alone was supposed to got Joseph killed. But he sends Joseph to the king's dungeon. Didn't send him to any dungeon. He could have sent him with all the rebels, all the folks that condemned forever. Now he sent him to the king's dungeon. Yes, it's a dark place. Yes, it's a pit that's in the ground with no windows. In that, he brought order. Can you see Joseph saying, hey, man, all of us got to do time. Ain't no sense of us complaining every day. Man, I'm here falsely. So, me too, me too. Listen, we ain't going to worry about that. Let's do what we got to do so we can carry on. They said the guards end up putting Joseph in charge. Why? Because Joseph brought order, even in the midst of chaos. Most of us would have been still crying, God, I can't believe you took me from my family. God, I can't believe you took me from my place of blessing. God, I can't believe you allowed her to lie on me like that and to call me. And we'd have been stuck in that murmuring and complaining. But Joseph said, that ain't going to change my circumstance. So I got to make good of where I'm at. It's not going to do you any good to complain about your circumstance in life. It's not going to do you any good for you to complain about what you don't have and what you can't do.
Uh-huh.
It may bring a moment of peace because people may listen for a moment. But they're only going to listen for a moment. When your same complaint is the same thing 6 months later, to them, you're going to be the broken record saying the same old thing. And yeah, they may have had some sympathy for you in the beginning, but all of it's going out the window as your complaint continue to be the same. In fact, they're going to, in their mind, they're going to already say what you're going to say before you begin to say it. Because they've heard it so many times.
Yep. Work on the solution.
And you're going to say to them, oh, you don't care. It ain't that they don't care. They just tired of hearing the same song.
Amen.
Even we change the radio station. Even we change the channel on the television.
Amen.
Yeah, I know binging a television program is the thing to do now since you can stream almost anything. Yeah, so you can find, but you ain't going to keep watching the same season one, episode one, over and over.
Well.
You're going to want to see all of the series. And so what you're saying to somebody, listen, I understand you fail right there. I understand you're struggling right there. But come on, let's get to tomorrow. Oh, I know y'all don't like me now. I know you don't like me now.
Amen.
But I'm telling
Amen.
You the truth, because that's how
Amen.
You feel.
And
people
Amen.
Do the same thing to you. You're not going to want to keep hearing the same thing over and over and over and over.
Amen. No one does.
Therefore, I'm saying to you, change your tune.
Amen.
Change your station.
Amen.
Watch what is coming out of your mouth continually.
Amen.
Let it be some progression in what you're talking about. All these messages that I've given y'all, they're some good messages.
Yes, Lord.
Amen, somebody.
Be praised. God be praised.
But if I
Amen.
Preach the same message to you like Noah did for 100 years, it's going to rain. At some point, like the people did in Noah's day, you're going to ask me, is there anything else you can tell me other than it's going to rain? Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. No, I can't tell you, but the only thing I know is it's going to rain. I got this boat to build. No, what you doing today? Man, listen, it's going to rain. I can't change my tune. It's going to rain. But what you see me doing is to prepare for the rain.
That's right.
What you doing? No one sitting there on the stone talking about it's going to rain. No one was working.
He may have had
the same message. But they saw some progression in his action.
Amen.
You may be saying the same sound, but you got to move from where you are right there. You can't be looking the same way. Last year you had that same nappy head. You were nappy headed then. Come on now. Let me see a new wig or something. Put on some change of clothes. Do something different.
Amen.
Because if you believe what you believe, let's see me moving towards it.
Amen.
Amen.
So even though they still didn't listen to Noah, he still remained the same.
Amen.
He kept building what God told him to build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your life mission is to do what God has for you to do and to do it.
That's right.
And
yeah.
not change.
Yes, Lord.
And when you do that, those that's willing to ride with you, they going to ride.
Mm-hmm.
But those that's not,
Amen.
You can't do nothing but leave them behind.
Amen.
God bless
you. Because you can't
God
make them come where you are. I can't make y'all receive the gospel. It's like leading a horse to water. I can lead you, but I can't make you drink.
Amen.
But the wicked, they are like worthless chaff.
That's right.
Scattered by the wind.
That's right. And
this is the fall season, and we're getting ready to go into winter season. And down here in the mid-south and the south, you see the tree leaves have changed colors, and the leaves are all falling down. The water content in the leaves have all dried up because of the season that changed, and the wind is able to blow the leaf off of the stems of the trees, and the leaves are in, you may not have a tree in your yard, but the leaves from down the street, they find their way in your yard. Why? Because they're being blown by the weeds, by the wind. They're being blown. And some of us don't realize we have dried up because we are not no longer connected to the source planted by the river of water. So there's no life. And as Jesus told the woman at the well, she said, listen, you a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan, and your people don't deal with my people because y'all believe worship different from we do.
Yeah.
And how is it that you are asking me for some water? And Jesus said, woman, if you knew who I am, you would ask me to give you water. And I would have given you living water.
Amen.
And the problem is that today we're looking for water, but we're not getting the living water. We're looking for something to wet our beak. We have an itching ear following what sounds good and what seems to be good, but we're not really getting the living water. That which consumes our soul, that which keeps us drying out on the inside, keeps life flowing on the inside of us, that won't allow us to die in our current circumstance, that's giving us hope for the most. We need the living water.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said to her, I am the living water.
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
And when we understand that Christ is the living water,
blessing.
It don't matter what our circumstance is. It don't matter how many times we have offended the law. It doesn't matter how many times we have did this and failed at it. She had five relationships, and they were broken, and she was in the sixth relationship, which was not a committed relationship. But God said to her, there's still hope for you.
Yes, Lord.
There's still hope.
Amen.
Because I am the living water.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And if you drink from me, you won't thirst no more.
To God be the glory.
And that's what happened to the young man that committed suicide. He was thirsty for life that could not fulfill him. And sometimes we're thirsty for relationship. We're thirsty for influence. And we're thirsty for money. And we're thirsty for all of these things. But none of these things have the power of life.
Amen.
And the word says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And we can't afford to keep being thirsty out of the things of this world that dries up and wither away.
Mm-hmm.
But our thirst must be that of a living water.
Yes, sir.
A living God that is able to repair the broken pieces of our lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not saying depression is not real. I'm not saying low self-esteem is not real. But I am saying the answer to your deliverance is Jesus Christ alone.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
I am saying that there's joy in loving God for real. There's peace in loving God with your whole heart.
Yes, Lord.
Stop worrying about what they're going to say.
Amen.
And how they're going to judge you.
Uh-huh.
They told about him standing on the cross, Man, I sense they taunted him. If you be come down, then we'll worship.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And I'm so glad that he did not come down. I'm glad that he stood there all the hours bearing from my sins and your sins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he finished the course. I'm glad that he finished the assignment. Because starting is one thing, but finishing is everything. And we got to have the drive in us to finish so that we can do all that God said that we can do.
Amen.
Not enough to start. We have to pray that God would allow us the anointing to finish. Lord, mm-hmm. help me finish the vision you have for my life. Help me finish the purpose that I'm living today for. The purpose
Amen.
That you have me here in this season, at this moment, I may not have what I want to have, but I have what I need.
Mm-hmm.
I have what I need. I thank you, Lord, that I have what I need.
Amen.
There's still circumstances and situations that's flowing around me that I don't know what I'm going to do about tomorrow, but I got what I need. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
and
you,
I learned that if you have an attitude of gratitude, that it will promote your altitude in life.
Amen.
Yeah, people are more willing to help you when they see the appreciation of what you have. Bishop was talking about somebody making a donation to him for the Church of God in Christ, and how they had initially planned to give him $100,000. That's some money there, y'all. That's a little bit of money right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when they called him and said, "We're going to give you $100,000. He began to shout and tell God thank you. He began to celebrate and thank the individual for what they're doing. And the individual said, "Man, if I knew you were going to act like this, my goodness, Lord have mercy." He said, "Matter of fact, since you've done all of that," he said, "man, I'm going to make it $250,000. And he added more to what he was going to do. And he really was ridiculous. And then he did tell him, that's all I'm going to give now. But thank you for celebrating that. And because he did that, it opened up doors of opportunity for others to give.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's faithful. And the deficit that the church had, it cleared up because somebody else sold. And the thing that you need in your life, you don't know who profit is in. You don't know who has your breakthrough miracle. You don't know who has the blessing that you need to be debt-free, to be in the next round that you need to be in, so that you can do
Amen.
What God called you to do. But when you have a faithful heart, a grateful heart,
yes, Lord.
And you refuse to allow others to steal it.
Amen.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it. And
yes,
the
Lord.
World can't take it away.
Amen.
That used to be a song.
Yes.
But it need to be an anthem.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It need to be an anthem that we hold dear. That the joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And because the world didn't give me this joy, the world cannot take it from me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I refuse to give it back to give it away to the world.
Beautiful. Thank you, Lord.
So you can take it. And that's the beauty of the devil can't take nothing from you.
Amen.
Right.
But you can give the devil everything you have.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. The devil has no power to take anything from you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
But you have the power and authority to give him everything.
Amen. Times are
Don't million. Let the devil beguile you like Eve said and give away your birthright.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Being a born-again believer, there are certain rights that belongs to you as a believer. Don't give it away.
Amen.
Don't devalue the valuable words in your own mouth.
Amen. Let me see that.
Speak life to yourself, no matter what nobody else is speaking concerning you.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I love you all. God bless you. I know we passed our time. I think we are.
No worries.
Yeah, we're in overtime.
You're
and
good.
I know y'all be saying, Pastor Bonnie, you a long-winded preacher for real.
Amen.
All right.
Well. That's because y'all needed it. Amen. Amen. Y'all owe this out of me. Amen. I was ready to stop 45 minutes ago, but somebody was pulling on the anointing.
Amen. Thank you,
and
Lord.
And wouldn't let me go.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody was saying, I need more, Lord. I need more.
Amen.
Yep.
So I don't know who it was,
Lord of God.
But thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for
not coming to the buffet table and getting your full.
Amen.
Thank you for not enjoying the meal that is prepared for you.
Amen.
Now, I hope y'all do like I do. I hope you done prepared some bullet notes, some points that you either wrote down or you're holding on in your memory.
Yes, Lord.
Of what was said in this message. So that later on, you can open that up and enjoy the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be just as fresh as it came out just now.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Because we're going to build a takeaway generation. We're taking away what the enemy has said.
Amen.
And we're holding on to all that God has given.
Amen. Lord.
We're going to block out the voice of the enemy.
Amen.
By holding on to the sound of God.
Amen.
What is God saying? What is he saying to his people? And we're going to share with others. Because if God said it here, he's saying it somewhere else too.
Amen.
Had two different speakers today. And in those two different speakers today, both end up dealing with a breaking away to become who God wants you to be.
Mm.
Both of them dealt with becoming all that God called you to be.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And although I gave you no title today, it is still blessed to be a blessing.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
And holding on to your blessing.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. The only time you let go of your blessing is when you're giving it to somebody else who needs it.
Amen.
Amen,
Amen
somebody.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
You hold on to it.
Amen.
You hold on to it. Why? Because somebody going to need it.
Amen.
You may need it later on in the week. I know Motivational Monday coming tomorrow, but just suppose I do like I did last week and run a repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I know y'all were saying, now he should have been on. That's all right.
You needed your rest, Pastor. Amen.
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 I definitely needed it. I definitely needed it. But nevertheless, if you paid attention to what it was, what repeated, I guarantee you it blessed you again. And you probably heard something that you didn't hear the first time around.
Amen.
That's why I'm glad that these programs are on demand, that you can go back and listen at any given time.
Yes, Lord.
In the new year, we're going to be doing a lot of teaching and exposing truth.
Amen.
I'm going to be talking about what we must do in dealing with the occults, how to recognize false religion, how to minister to those that are trapped in false religion. We're going back to some fundamental training and teaching, because the body of Christ has to be strong.
Yes, Lord.
And we can only become strong on purpose. Don't nobody accidentally pop up and be strong.
Right.
You must develop. You must develop your muscles. Lucifer Rigno and Arnold Schwarzenegger and all them others, Big John and all of them that bodybuilt over the years, that didn't happen overnight. It took dedication for them to transform their bodies into what it was.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And it's going to take dedication for us to transform our mind into the vessel it needs to destroy yokes.
Yes, sir.
What are yokes? Yokes are things that keep people trapped. You put a yoke around an oxen so he can keep walking in a circle, or so that he may go wherever you want him to go. But he can't go free. And the world has done that to us, made us walk where it want us to go. We walk in circles, wondering why we ain't getting nowhere. That's why I like the song by, what is his name? Jonathan? Is it Jonathan? Cycles. And that we're asking God to break the cycles that we keep repeating and not overcoming.
Yes, Lord.
And so our prayers have to change, and we must become stronger. Because we can only help. You ever seen on these television shows somebody fall off the ledge and then all of a sudden somebody else reach down and catch their arm?
Yes.
The probability of that happening in real life is slim to none unless the person is developed in strength.
Amen.
And the reason why we can't catch others is because we haven't developed the strength to catch people falling.
Amen.
I'm done. I'm in that pastoral mode. God bless all of you. I want to say thank you once again for allowing me opportunity to minister freely. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you
for all of your response. I hear y'all. Amen. And that makes preaching easy, even easier. even though we are in different places, because I can hear your responses. And it helps preaching go along even further. Amen. And so thank you for being responsive in this message on today.
Amen.
And I pray that everyone that has a broken heart, that it is mended right now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Now, just like any other wound,
in the name of Jesus,
I can mend it, but you got to give it time to heal.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Any other broken dreams, we can mend it, but you got to give it time to heal.
Yep.
So whatever's been broken in your life that needed to be in your life, give it time to heal. And the cancer that was broken off of you, that was cut out through this word, the wound from the cut, let it heal.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. And pick up the cancer.
Yes.
And don't reconnect the cancer back to your body.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, whom the Son set free is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
And so be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
God has set you free. Stay free.
Yes, Lord.
Live free.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Be free.
Thank
you. All right. Amen.
Glory to your name.
Amen.
Lord. Hallelujah.
And amen. But child, I put this back in your hands, sir. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
All of you in charge. Amen. Thank you again.
Thank you for that very powerful message. It is December 18th, and you are enjoying the Six Eyes Radio Network. I want to thank all our listeners around the world, our surrounding cities and states, our faraway countries, our new listeners, our old listeners. We want to thank our Shirley Browns, our Jeff Carlins, the rest of the other people over at the JKN, all those listeners, all our listeners around the world. I want to thank the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, everybody in their respective places. You are definitely appreciated. Going around the table, we always do our mental checks. And my mental, it's here. You know, this is going to be the first year without one of Six Eyes. So it's very rough and mentally challenged on me. But I'm pushing forward. She said, keeps the station going, in which I'm fulfilling her wishes. And once again, I thank each and every one of you. Continue to pray for the sick and shut in. Continue to keep Mama Tyler in your prayers. Keep Destiny in your prayers, our family, my family, and all of mankind. So any craziness that's going on in the world, just, you know, Jesus can fix it. So definitely appreciate it. It is December 18th, 2022. Tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central and 6 Pacific, Motivational Money with our very own powerful man, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. And it's our prayer, being tomorrow's going to be the 19th of December, that he will go live. I remember he telling me that December I'm going to be going live. So will Pastor Bonnet be live tomorrow on Motivational Monday? Stay tuned. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to earlier go live in this broadcast, but I didn't have it set up right, and I wasn't able to. I surely wanted to, but I didn't have it done right. And so I got to do a couple test runs so that I can have the Facebook app open in the going live part of it. And so I'm working on that.
Amen. Amen. That's all it takes. It's a work, it's a start. And I want to pray procrastination off of me. There's areas that we all can fix up on and improve upon, you know. So that has to be one of mine, a little bit of procrastination in some areas. So, So that's me calling myself. So there it is. That's me. Complete, love you all.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, Six, I actually agree with you on some points there, because I do the same thing, and I think we all do. We're human.
Yes.
So, you know, we shouldn't cut each other down. Let's build each other up.
Amen.
And, you know,
yes.
Just praise
Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
And have a good time. And
yes.
Could I sing a small song?
Yes. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, you know, fixing up each other, you know, and repairing oneself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't drill and talk about my sight loss, but it's very challenging to be able to once see and not see. And then, therefore, I don't see God sees for me, but still daily task. I'm doing it totally in the dark with my eyes closed. So every minute, every second, every hour that my eyes are closed and yours are open, that works. I'm still doing it, but it just takes a little bit more time. So that's the part I'm talking about with the procrastination. Far as the creative process, it takes a little bit more time to create as when one thought. So, you know, just remembering that, and it is what it is. But still pushing forward and moving, and that's all that matters. Keep going, keep moving no matter how you do it, and let nothing stop you. So that's me, and I'm done.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe Sister Ruthie wants to sing a song. I don't know.
Sister Ruthie,
it's just a real short one, okay?
Well, we want to hear your voice. Ken, sit back, relax, and let your wife sing. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I got prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Prayer is so easily spoken, but prayer without faith is like a boat without an oar. Have faith when you speak to the master, that's all he asks you for. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith locks the door. I forget the rest of it, but it was something that was done at Humbard's Church many years ago. And the Cathedral Quartet, actually, where my grandparents used to go to that church, they took me there when I was 4 years old, and I got into mischief under the pews. But I was only four.
Uh-huh.
But I remember being there. Rex Humbard passed away, and his wife bought Amy. But it was just a lot of fun, and they actually ate dinner with the Cathedral Quartet. So I just praise the Lord for what he can do and what he does every day, the precious.
Amen.
Amen. The message was in the song. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That song made me smile. Amen. Beautiful song. Thank you.
Amen.
Sure everybody would.
I was just going to – I had a kind of announcement of my own. It relates to two things. First off, this coming Wednesday, I'm inviting everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study because we've got something special going on. We got a special message about the Star of Bethlehem, and it also brings up December 25th, something special about that date. Not telling you what. I'm just – telling you to join us on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, and you'll find out what it's all about. And then on the last Thursday of this month, it's that time. Part 2, Battle of the Phones, between 6 and, of course, Pastor Bonnet with their phones, and then we may even get Nikhail involved with her Android. But we're going to have the battle of the phones. Which phone is the best phone? So let the best phone win.
Honey, you got a lively and I got a track phone. You want to have fun?
Amen.
Go Android.
Amen.
Honey, what's your phone?
Android.
What kind of phone is your phone, darling?
Mine's is an Android.
All right.
Yeah, well, Emily can join into the battle.
Yeah, she can.
That's okay.
We're talking, Bruce, they have to be like a flat screen like theirs is because it's a smartphone is what we're looking for. Our flip phone won't qualify.
iPhone.
And then my
Team
phone
Android
is my mom.
iPhone.
Oh, well.
One iPhone, the rest Android.
Well, you know what? I stand
alone.
Can.
Do what you can.
Alone. I stand alone. It's cool.
Is there a Windows phone out there? Is there a Windows? Is there a Windows? I mean, might be a Windows out there. Somebody might
there
got
used
Windows.
To be. Now, you know what? That Windows phone, used to be good. Yeah.
So we'll see. I guess we'll end up breaking down to from system to brand. But we'll see. All right, Ken. I you called it out. We'll see then. Amen. Amen. Anybody got a takeaway that they'd like to share today?
Listen, my takeaway is, everything you said resonated with me. I found myself in those areas that you spoke up on one point in time. And I'm just about continual growth and evolving. I mean, and where I need fixing, God knows. You know, so I keep a repair kit. And if I have a good day today, I want a better day tomorrow. If I have a great day, you understand? So I go back and forth. Good, better, and great. You know, because you are in charge of your 1460. So, you know, that's it with me. So everything you spoke up on touched me.
Amen.
14, and my takeaway was when he was talking about forgiveness, how important it is to forgive, or basically you're carrying around this extra baggage that you don't need to be carrying around. So I like that particular part. And then when he was talking about trees that were the palm trees that he was talking about, I like that because down there when I lived down in Georgia, too, they had a lot of those trees that when they were rooted, even when all those hurricanes and stuff that went through Georgia, there were some trees that no matter what hit them, they just stood the storms. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay, well, my takeaway was about keeping God first and speaking life into existence. And when you was talking about Psalms 1 and 2, the verse, be his delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditated day and night. So in the situation when life and people try to beat you down and try to diminish your heart, is keeping God first.
Amen. 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 Anybody else?
Hey, Pastor Bonnet.
God bless you, Sister Emily. What you got? What you got?
My takeaway today was don't ever lay down what God has already given to you, because if you do, you're going to lose it. And if you lose it, God's going to whoop you.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Anybody else? Anybody else?
Speaking of Psalms, we say it, we'll more likely even say it today, we often do, about the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart being acceptable unto the Lord, because he is our strength and our Redeemer. So I'm just grateful to be here, grateful to be a part of the message from my life, and going forward to be salty with it and sharing it with others. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I like how you keep, I've been noticing, you keep tying them all together, too. So with that said, you're holding on to the whole word. I really like that. I just want,
I don't know if anybody else noticed that you make a lot of reference to the previous and then the previous message. So I'm listening to what you're saying. So you're doing your best to hold on. And
I hear the growth, hear the learn. Amen.
It's going to reward you. You're going to be surprised what position God pushed you in. And I say that because you ain't just anxious to try to have a position, but what God began to do for you, he gonna give you a little nudge and you'll find yourself doing it. And by the time you realize what you're doing, you're gonna already be fully into it. Amen. That's all I'm gonna say for now.
Amen. Praise God.
All right. Well, you can share this show with your friends. Once again, we want to thank everybody who enjoys the Six Eyes Gospel Show. 7 days a week of what you really want. I want to thank the staff of the Six Eyes Radio Network, everybody in your respective places. You are definitely appreciated. Continue to grow this station. Continue to minister to the world as we do. And, hey, appreciate you all. Happy holidays from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Okay, are we ready for the Bloodhound?
We are.
Come on with it.
All right. Now, remember last week, Six boasted that he knew that his Bible front and back and in and out. So we're going to see if Six knows where this verse is that we had from last week. And here we go.
He doesn't need any help.
Okay.
Since he knows it all.
With silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not.
And you notice they fasten it with hammers and nails that it moves not. Wonder what it is. And we'll hear that once again.
They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not.
And you also notice they deck it with silver and with gold. Wonder what it is. Well, we'll hear it one more time for our listeners' sake.
They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not.
All right, Six, where is it?
All right, and you're going to find that in Jeremiah 10, verse 4.
And you are right.
Verse 4.
Yay!
So unfair.
Amen.
And now, Mr. Bible Scholar, what was that verse in reference to?
A Christmas tree. Amen.
Yeah, and we can thank Pastor Bonnet for that because he actually brought that up in a sermon once.
Amen.
That's right.
All right. And now for the verse you have to sniff out by next week, and here it is.
And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
And, wonder about that. He did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. And we'll hear that again. Amen.
And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
And aren't you glad that Joseph honored Mary, not knowing her, until she brought forth her firstborn son named Jesus? Amen. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
And that's what you have to sniff out by next week.
Amen. That's our nativity story. Or our origin story of Christ. Amen. Something that we
definitely going to want to discuss. I won't be as long next Sunday as I was today. I'll try not to be, as I said that way. But the previous Sunday is the first. And to those that don't know, the first is my wedding anniversary.